Mahabharat, Chapter 72, Karna's Prowess. Yudhisthira Sarkarna, charging at the head of the Kauravas, turning to Arjuna, he said, "Behold, O Dhananjaya, the enemy's mighty formation, which Karna has arranged. Take whatever steps are needed to check them. Today you must slay the Suta's son." Arjuna smiled. At last he would get the chance to slay his mortal foe. He had been waiting for this moment since the day of the tournament in Hastinapur. He would have killed Karna then, had he had the opportunity. Then perhaps all this death and destruction would have been avoided. Somehow it had not been sanctioned by fate at that time. Arjuna saw Karna's banner billowing in the distance. "Everything will be done as you say, my lord. By killing Karna, I will bring about the Kaurava's destruction." As Arjuna went forward to encounter Karna, Yudhisthira ordered Bhima to confront Duryodhan and his brothers, Sahadev to fight with Shakuni, Satyaki with Kritavarma, and Pandya, the king of southern Bharata, to fight with Ashvatthama. Yudhisthira decided to fight with Kripa. The two armies converged. On Duryodhan's order, Arjuna was surrounded by thousands of troops. If possible, the Kaurava wanted to weaken him before he met Karna. Karna charged into the midst of the Panchalas and slew them on all sides. Jastadumna, Sikandi, and Draupadi's sons challenged him and fired thousands of shafts. Three of Karna's sons, Bhanusena, Sushena, and Virasena, came to his assistance. They were all Maharatas, and they contended powerfully with the Pandava warriors. Soon Bhima entered the fray, and Karna was joined by Dushasan. With a razor-headed shaft, Bhima slew Bhanusena in front of Karna. He then attacked Sushena, piercing his chest with three iron arrows that made the prince fall to his knees. Raging, Karna struck Bhima with hundreds of arrows. Oblivious to the attack, Bhima fired a razor-headed shaft to destroy Sushena, but Karna cut it down in mid-flight. Sushena recovered from Bhima's attack and rushed angrily against Nakula, who was challenging him. Other great heroes from both sides entered the fight with joyous roars. In the melee, thousands of warriors were killed or mangled by the deadly shafts that fill the air. Karna cut through his opponents and met Yudhisthira. Seeing Karna before him, Yudhisthira called out, "O Karna, son of a charioteer, hear my words. Vain and arrogant, you always challenge Arjuna, and foolishly consider yourself his equal. Now your pride will be crushed. Stand and fight with me. Display your prowess and your hatred for the Pandavas. I will soon destroy your desire for battle." Without replying, Karna immediately fired a number of straight-flying arrows that pierced Yudhisthira's chest. Infuriated by Karna's contempt for him, Yudhisthira took up a long golden shaft that was capable of splitting a mountain. Charging it with mantras, he released it from his fully drawn bow. It penetrated Karna's side, and Karna dropped to his knees and swooned. The Kauravas cried out when they saw Karna's plight, but then he rose to his feet and stared at Yudhisthira. Breathing heavily, he released arrows end to end that completely covered the Pandava king. He slew the two warriors protecting Yudhisthira's chariot wheels and struck his chariot with a dozen arrows. Yudhisthira fought back valiantly and checked Karna's speeding arrows with his own. Karna laughed and stepped up his attack, sending volleys of barbed shafts. Numerous Pandava warriors surrounded him in order to protect Yudhisthira. They rained down arrows, darts, lances, and spears on Karna, who then invoked a celestial missile, which filled the sky with blazing shafts. Coming clear of his assailants, Karna trained his attack on Yudhisthira. With deadly accuracy, he cut off the Pandava's bejeweled armor. It fell from his body like a cloud decorated with lightning, dropping from the sky. Yudhisthira hurled a large iron dart at his antagonist, but Karna cut it to pieces before it could reach him. Yudhisthira followed it with four barbed lances that pierced Karna's armor and made blood spurt from his body. Karna threw the lances aside and assailed Yudhisthira with countless shafts. Without his armor and with his charioteer slain, Yudhisthira was unable to stand before the attack. He jumped down from his chariot and fled from the fight. Karna pursued him and jeered, "In what family were you born, O hero? It seems you do not know the duties of Kshatriyas. I think you are better suited for the life of a Brahmin in the forest. O son of Kunti, do not fight again with powerful warriors and use harsh language. Go and give yourself to the practice of asceticism." Humiliated and angered, Yudhisthira ran over to Jastadumna's chariot and jumped aboard. Not knowing Karna's promise to Kunti, he could not understand why he had been spared. Jastadumna bore him to safety in the midst of the Pandava forces, and other warriors attacked Karna. Bhima, witnessing his elder brother's defeat and humiliation, was seized by an uncontrollable rage. He flew toward Karna, screaming out his battle cry. Those warriors who came before him were instantly cut to pieces by his arrows, or pounded to a pulp by his whirling mace. Seeing him approach, Shalya said, "Here comes the second son of Pandu, raging out of control. I've never seen him display such a terrible form. It appears that he will annihilate the three worlds with all their mobile and immobile beings." Karna smiled. "I will slay this one at once, and thus bring Arjuna to my presence for our final encounter." Karna released a cluster of crooked arrows that flew with a twisting motion and had razor-sharp tips. Some of the shafts glanced off Bhima's armor, but others pierced his shoulders and arms. The fuming Pandava felt nothing. He responded with dreadful arrows shot from his fully drawn bow. Rocked by the power of Bhima's shafts, Karna released a broad-headed arrow that sundered his opponent's bow. But Bhima instantly took up another bow and again attacked Karna. Karna hit Bhima with 100 arrows, just as a hunter strikes a proud and infuriated elephant in the forest. Senseless with rage, Bhima took up a single long shaft that resembled a lance. He discharged it from his bow, and it hit Karna like a thunderbolt hitting a mountain. Stupefied, Karna sat down on the terrace of his chariot. Seeing Karna's condition, Shalya, conscious of his duty as a charioteer, quickly carried him from the fight. Duryodhan became fearful for Karna, and he instructed his brothers to go to his assistance. The princes rushed at Bhima like a swarm of insects approaching a fire. Over 20 of them surrounded Bhima, backed by a large number of chariot fighters. They covered the Pandava with arrows, darts, lances, and heavy clubs. Smiling to see himself encircled by Dhritarashtra's sons, Bhima set about killing them one by one. He beheaded some of them with crescent-headed shafts, and with long arrows he pierced the vital organs of others. Killing a dozen of the princes in just a matter of minutes, Bhima sent up a roar that terrified the Kauravas. He appeared like Yamaraj himself. Impervious to all weapons, the marauding Pandava hurled about the field, shooting arrows on all sides. Dhritarashtra's surviving sons fled in terror. Bhima slaughtered their troops without mercy. He ranged among the Kaurava warriors, spreading death and destruction wherever he went. Regaining his senses, Karna re-entered the fray. He rushed against Bhima and assailed him with countless arrows. Another fierce encounter ensued between the two. Both men continued to slay the soldiers of the opposing army, even as they attacked one another. Some way off from the fight, Arjuna's great banner flew. He was surrounded by thousands of Kaurava troops. In the midst of those warriors, Arjuna and Krishna appeared like the sun and moon, covered by dense clouds. The Gandiva's twang and Hanuman's roars combined to create a sound so terrifying that it paralyzed the Kaurava's horses. Assailed by innumerable burning arrows, the Kaurava warriors pressed forward toward Arjuna, like men advancing into a tempest. Hundreds of thousands were cut down. but they continued to close in Arjuna with their swords and maces held high. They began clambering up onto his chariot and dealing both Krishna and Arjuna violent blows. Dozens of warriors took hold of Arjuna, but he shook them off and fought back with his steel saber. Throwing the Kauravas down from his chariot, Arjuna took up a golden arrow decked with gems and invoked the Naga's Paridava weapon. Suddenly, the Kauravas found themselves bound by their legs and unable to move. Great snakes, brought into being by the celestial missile, held them fast as they struggled to get free. Arjuna remorselessly slew his immobilized foes, even as Indra formally annihilated the demons with his Vajra weapon. Seeing his soldiers tied down, Susharma invoked the Suparna weapon. Suddenly, thousands of vultures descended from the sky and devoured the snakes holding those warriors. The serpents fled as the vultures came at them, their talons outstretched. Freed from their bonds, the Kauravas again assailed Arjuna with all their strength. The Pandava withstood their attack and invoked the Indrastha. Waves of blazing shafts swept across the battlefield. Sorely afflicted, the Kauravas cried out and fell in lines as the flaming arrows tore into them. Seeing his enemies routed and fleeing, Arjuna said, "It seems that this army has been overpowered, O Madhava. They are running like deer at the sight of a lion. Surely it is time that I encountered the Suta's son. I see his banner moving among Yudhisthira's division with alacrity. Leaving aside these warriors, O Govinda, take me to that mighty hero. I shall finish his battle career at once." "Let it be so." Krishna then urged on the horses, and the chariot moved off toward Karna, stationed 2 miles away. Many powerful Kauravas came before Arjuna to check his progress, but he swept them ruthlessly aside with his weapons. The Pandava steadily approached Karna, cutting down countless charioteers, horsemen, and elephants on the way. 25,000 warriors soon lay slain by Arjuna. The fierce barbarian armies of the Kambojas, Yavanas, and Sakas were pressed back and crushed as Arjuna made his way across the field. Another 20,000 of their number were cut to pieces by his straight-flying arrows. Karna, having broken away from Bhima, slew the Pandava forces even as Arjuna killed the Kauravas. His arrows, with a touch like poison, felled his enemies by the thousands. Other Kaurava heroes supported him and rained down arrows on the Pandavas, who in turn sent an immeasurable volume of shafts back at their foes. The battle presented a ghastly scene, with mutilated bodies lying in heaps. Headless torsos ran about with blood spurting from their necks. Their severed heads lay with staring eyes and clenched teeth. Warriors slipped and fell as they fought in the blood-soaked mire, piteously hacking at one another. Karna at once attacked Yudhisthira. Seeing this, Madri's 2 sons challenged him and immediately covered him with arrows. Karna smiled and fearlessly fought against the 3 Pandavas together. He cut apart both Nakula and Sahadev's bows and struck Yudhisthira on the chest with a cluster of powerful shafts that rendered him senseless. With another dozen arrows, he killed Nakula's horses and charioteer. Striking both Nakula and Sahadev with a relentless stream of shafts, Karna placed them both in difficulty. Seeing the plight of his maternal nephews, Shalya said, "Why are you wasting your time? You're supposed to fight with Arjuna, now that you have vaunted your prowess. It seems you are intent on avoiding him. Do you not see him coming your way? If you are powerful, then train your weapons on him. Do not tarry here with the others." Karna looked across the field and saw Arjuna's chariot not far away. He also saw Bhima, who had been waging a battle with Duryodhan. Kunti's 2nd son had overpowered the Kaurava prince and placed him in a precarious situation. Remembering his promise to Kunti and realizing that he could not kill any other Pandava than Arjuna, Karna raced to Duryodhan's assistance. At the same time, Ashvatthama, Kripa, and Kritavarma came to support their king. Bhima, backed by Drishtadyumna and Satyaki, assailed the Kaurava heroes with arrows resembling steel spears. Yudhisthira, afflicted by Karna's attack, left the battlefield with the twins protecting him. He made his way in shame back to his camp, unable to continue the fight. His armor was smashed and his body covered with wounds. As expert physicians tended him, he told the twins to return to the fight. They charged back to the battle, where they found Karna releasing the Bhargava missile. That celestial weapon caused thousands of arrows to shoot forth in streams from his bow. Those kanka and peacock-feathered shafts moved down the Pandava soldiers. Nothing was visible on the battlefield except the dense sheet of arrows. Under such a fierce attack, the Pandava forces cried out and ran about in terror. They repeatedly prayed to Krishna and Arjuna to save them. Hearing his troops' piteous cries, Arjuna said, "Behold the mighty Bhargava weapon, O Keshava. No one can withstand it in battle. See the charioteer's son, resembling death himself, performing dreadful feats. The time for our final meeting has come. Death or victory are now the only options left for us both." Krishna steered the chariot clear of Karna's hail of shafts and replied, "Yudhisthira has left the field badly wounded. I think you should first see him and ensure that all is well. After that, kill Karna." Krishna suggested that while they were seeing Yudhisthira, Karna would wear himself out by fighting others. He also desired to reassure Yudhisthira, whom he knew would be feeling anxiety after seeing the destruction caused by Karna. Agreeing to Krishna's suggestion, he went over to Bhima and asked him to protect the army in his absence. Bhima replied, "Go at once to see the king. I do not know if he survives. Have no fear for us. I will check all the Suda's weapons. When you return, you can easily slay him." Arjuna thanked his brother and went swiftly to Yudhisthira's tent. Finding him well and resting, he was relieved and bowed at his feet. As he rose, Yudhisthira, thinking that Karna must have been slain, said, "I am indeed glad to see you, O Arjuna. Pleasing too is the sight of Keshava. That both of you are hale and hearty, even after standing before Karna, is a wonder. That Suta was like a deadly serpent with his fangs ever exposed. Energetic and powerful, no one could resist him in battle, any more than one could resist the ocean. O Achyuta, O Arjuna, Karna and I fought, but he reduced me to this pitiable condition. Addressing me in harsh words, he cut me to the quick. Now by good fortune you have slain him." Arjuna was dumbfounded. He stepped back in surprise as Yudhisthira went on addressing him in joy. "O Dhananjaya, for 13 years I've lost sleep thinking of Karna's prowess. Even while awake, I could see an illusion of Karna. It appeared as if the whole universe was filled only with him. Surely I rushed at him, impelled by death himself. Vanquished by him, I was released and allowed to live. Alas, what use is my life after such humiliation? Only the fact that you have killed him gives me relief." Yudhisthira smiled broadly at Arjuna. He forgot the pain of his wounds as he went on eagerly questioning him. "Tell me how you overcame that wicked one. I want to hear all the details. Tell me how he now lies besmeared in blood and mangled by your shafts. Without doubt, the fool Duryodhan now laments and sees his imminent defeat." That dull-headed Karna, who insulted Draupadi so grievously, now lies killed, and that gives me more pleasure than ascending to heaven. O Dhananjaya, describe everything to me." Arjuna took a deep breath. "O king, you are not aware of the facts. I have been under attack by hordes of Kaurava warriors. Numerous great heroes have charged at me, roaring out their battle cries. Dispatching all those fighters to Yamaraja's mansion, I pressed on toward Karna. Finally reaching the indomitable hero, I found him annihilating our troops with his weapons. And then I learned that you had been overpowered and made to retreat. Thus I came here at once to be sure of your welfare before killing Karna." Yudhisthira's head fell to his chest. "Alas!" he cried. Arjuna placed a hand on his elder brother's shoulder. "O illustrious king, do not despair. I will immediately carry out your heart's desire. Even as Shakra encountered Vritrasura, I will encounter Karna and end his life. Do not doubt it, for it is my solemn vow. Come and witness the fight. I beg your blessings, O king. Only say to me, 'May victory be thine,' and Karna is as good as dead. Let me return to the fight." Yudhisthira, still pained by his humiliation at Karna's hands, was suddenly seized by anger. Shaking his head, he said, "Your birth in Kunti's womb was in vain, my brother. How could you leave the field without killing Karna? Surely it was out of fear that you have come here, seeking to avoid the Suta's son. How has your promise proved false? If you had told me in the forest that you could not kill Karna, then I would never have left that place. All our hopes have been frustrated, like a man expecting fruits from a tree and receiving flowers instead. For 13 years we have expected much of you, like men who have sown seeds and await the rains to fall." Yudhisthira got to his feet. The Brahmins tending to his womb stood back as he raised his voice against his brother. "Why, O wretch, did you not make over the Gandhava to Keshava? He would have slain Karna without delay. If you are unable to face him in battle, then give your famed bow to another warrior who may be equal to the task. Due to your failure, the world will see us, with all our relatives, sunk into the fathomless abyss of hell. It would have been better if you had come out of Kunti in the 5th month as an abortion, rather than being born in a royal line and then showing your back on the battlefield. Fie on your Gandiva! Fie on the strength of your arms and your numberless arrows! Fie on your Hanuman emblem, and fie on Agni's chariot!" Yudhisthira slumped back onto his bed. He gazed up at his younger brother with eyes red with anger. Arjuna said nothing. He breathed heavily and clenched his fist around the hilt of his sword. Pulling out the long, gleaming blade, he raised it to kill his brother. Krishna quickly stepped in front of him and grasped his arm. Preventing him from advancing toward Yudhisthira, he exclaimed, "Here, O Dhananjaya, I see no adversary to try the strength of your steel. You have seen that Yudhisthira is well and should now be rejoicing. Why then do you suddenly seize your sword? What makes you yearn for fight at this time, or have you lost your mind? In a sullen mood you are drawing your sword with no apparent cause." Arjuna stared past Krishna at his older brother. Breathing short and hot breaths, he replied, "I have made a vow to behead anyone who tells me to give up my Gandiva. In your presence the king has uttered these words, and I cannot forgive him. I will run my sword through this pious king and redeem my vow. What else can be done now, O Keshava? You know everything. I depend on your advice." Arjuna was now in a dilemma. His anger had abated when Krishna intervened, but he could not break a vow under any circumstance. But how could he kill Yudhisthira? Lowering his sword, he waited for Krishna to speak. "Fie on you, Arjuna! Now I can understand that you have never waited upon venerable elders, since, O mightiest of men, you give way to anger at an inappropriate time. Those versed in the subtleties of religion would never contemplate what you are considering, O Partha. One who performs such a heinous act is certainly the vilest of men. Surely you are a stranger to the scriptures, as you do not know what is right and what is wrong. How can you rush upon your elder brother intent on killing him, oblivious to the fact that he is your worshipable lord? He is not an aggressor, nor even an enemy. He is not engaged in a fight, and as your superior is seeking your shelter. For these, as well as other reasons, you cannot slay him without incurring sin." Arjuna replaced his sword in its scabbard as Krishna continued, "O Partha, your vow was made out of childishness. Now hear from me about the higher principles of religion. Out of a desire to preserve truth, you are ready to kill your brother, But you do not know that even truth should not be uttered where it will produce an adverse result. Krishna cited a Vedic verse which described instances when speaking untruth was not considered sinful. In those instances, truth was actually considered untruth. Such times were when life was threatened, when a Brahmin was in danger, or if one's entire fortune was at stake. At those times, to lie was not considered sinful. Krishna added, "In all cases, O Partha, the highest virtue lies in not harming other creatures. Killing in righteous battle and murdering another for one's own purposes are different and produce quite different results. Indeed, untruth which protects against the latter may be considered truth. Your adherence to so-called truth in this case simply shows your ignorance of true morality. Any act free from the motive to injure any being is surely true morality. The moral precepts exist for this purpose. Morality cannot be ascertained by logic, nor even in every case by the study of scripture. One must seek the guidance of experienced and wise elders to learn its subtleties. All of this I have heard from the rishis, O Partha." Arjuna's head fell. His anger had completely subsided. Krishna raised his hand toward Yudhisthira and said, "Now tell me, O hero, if you feel this virtuous king deserves to be killed by you." Tears fell from Arjuna's eyes as he replied, "O Krishna, you have spoken as a man of great wisdom and intelligence would speak. Who knows the subtleties of truth better than you? Surely you are like our father and mother. You are our only sanctuary, and your words are always beneficial. Again, you have saved us from a terrible calamity. I admit that the righteous Yudhisthira cannot be killed, but, O Keshava, I am in a dilemma. Whether my vow was right or wrong, it nevertheless stands. How will my words not prove false? All my vows will be worthless if I find reason to evade even one of them. At the same time, I cannot kill Yudhisthira and myself remain alive. How then can I preserve my vow and also the king's life?" Krishna placed his arm around Arjuna's shoulder. "O valiant one, Karna has harassed the king. Heavy at heart, he spoke angrily to you. He also hoped to provoke you to slay the Suta's son without delay. Dharmaraj sees none other capable of killing him. Thus he used harsh words out of frustration and disappointment. O Partha, you should fulfill his desire and slay the wicked-minded Karna in battle. As far as your promise is concerned, here is how you may be saved." Krishna quoted a scriptural injunction that stated that an elder should never be addressed disrespectfully. One so addressed by his inferior is said to die at heart. Krishna told Arjuna to insult his brother. "Thus you will kill him without taking his life. After this, you can gain his forgiveness by falling at his feet and worshipping him." Realizing that this was his only recourse, Arjuna reluctantly agreed and insulted Yudhisthira. He compared him unfavorably with Bhima, deriding his power and calling him a coward, accusing him of being addicted to gambling and being the cause of the war. Arjuna suggested that he should not become the sovereign. As he spoke words he had never before uttered, his heart sank. He felt disconsolate and shameful, considering himself covered by sin. Sighing heavily, he again unsheathed his sword. Seeing Arjuna with sword in hand once more, Krishna said in surprise, "Why is this? Why do I again see your sword, lustrous like the blue skies, drawn? If you still have doubts, then speak them out. I will settle them for you." Filled with remorse, Arjuna replied, "I will destroy my body, for it has sinned grievously against the pious king." As Arjuna turned his sword toward his own heart, Krishna said urgently, "Stop, O slayer of foes. This is an act condemned as the killing of Yudhisthira. You are surely seized with some false religious zeal, and that you were first ready to slay the king, and now yourself. Do not give way to sin in the name of virtue. O Partha, if you loudly recount your own glories, that will be the same as self-destruction, for no cultured man glorifies himself. Once more, checked by Krishna, Arjuna sheathed his sword and did as Krishna suggested, speaking his own praises. Then he hung his head in shame and said to Yudhisthira, O king, be pleased with me. My life is devoted to you. Forgive my foolishness and my unwarranted words. I will now go forth and kill Karna. Dropping to his knees, Arjuna took hold of Yudhisthira's feet. Please bless me with success, he said, placing his head on his elder brother's feet. Yudhisthira got up from his bed and spoke without cheer. O Arjuna, dear brother, I am at fault. Because of me you have been put into danger. Only by Keshava's interference were you saved. I deserve to be killed. Who is more wretched than I? A dull-headed sinner and coward, I'll repair at once to the forest and let Bhima take the throne. Your harsh words rang true, O Partha. I am unfit to rule the earth. Let me go to the forest. Yudhisthira stood to leave. He tightened his cloth and walked toward the door of his tent. Krishna quickly stepped in front of him and bowed at his feet. Yudhisthira reached down to lift him up. Krishna said, O king, where are you going in such a somber mood? You should not take Arjuna's rebukes seriously. He could never hold such thoughts in his heart, and he spoke them only to avoid the unthinkable act of killing you. Both he and I have acted in an unmannerly fashion, O best of men. I beg your forgiveness. Be peaceful. Today the earth will drink Karna's blood. Do not doubt it. Pacified, Yudhisthira replied, O Govinda, I accept what you say. Indeed, you have saved me too. I was steeped in ignorance, and you have rescued me, for you never lose your intelligence. You have carried Arjuna and I over the ocean of grief and remorse. Turning to Arjuna, Yudhisthira said, O hero, go and slay the Suta's son with your infallible shafts. This will surely bring about our success and satisfy Keshava. Arjuna was still consumed by shame for what he had said to Yudhisthira. Seeing his elder brother so deeply afflicted made it even worse. He fell at his feet weeping, begging his forgiveness in a choked voice. O king, nothing of what I said was true. It was spoken only to save me from falsehood. I have hurt you most grievously. How can I ever be forgiven? Yudhisthira raised his brother and embraced him. He assured him that he had taken no offense. Arjuna then set his face in determined lines. Assuming a fearful expression, he said coldly, The evil-minded one will reap the fruits of insulting you, dear brother. I swear by truth that he will fall in battle today, cut down by arrows released from the Gandiva. Yudhisthira held up his hand to bless Arjuna. May you attain unfading fame and eternal life. May victory attend you. May the gods grant you continuous prosperity. Go forth, my child, and shatter Duryodhan's hopes. I too will soon return to the fight. Arjuna asked Krishna to prepare his chariot and then took his leave from Yudhisthira. After receiving blessings from numerous Brahmins, he mounted his chariot and set off for the battlefield. He blew a terrific blast on his conch shell and repeatedly slapped his arms. Seeing the mighty archer heading out in an angry mood, everyone felt that Karna was already slain. Various auspicious omens surrounded Arjuna as he rode out to the fight. Ahead of him flew a number of vultures, hawks, and ravens in anticipation of food. Arjuna, impatient to meet Karna, clasped his Gandiva and stared ahead as the chariot picked up speed.